My thoughts have been running from here to there, just as I appear to be as I walked up here. But pray for me. Pray for one another. That the Lord of Glory was just simply have his way with us this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to see you all. You know, as we were singing this morning, there was one verse that came over, came to mind. And as God's little children, Brother Bobby, I really appreciate that sweet prayer. You know, as God's little children, we are ever forgetful. Which is the reason why, I guess, when we are blessed to gather together in meetings like this and in our other little churches, that it's good that we're blessed to rehearse those truths over and over again, that we might be comforted as God's little children. I mean, when we simply think about the love of God, the love that he has for people, and we think about that which Jesus endured on our behalf, on the cross of Calvary. Sometimes those things are just so well known, I guess, to us that we simply forget the significance of it all. We forget the depth of it all as to what really transpired and what Jesus had to endure on our behalf from his Father. Who he and his Father had been in total unison in every aspect. And for him to cry out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" I mean, that is a huge thing. And but in it all, it shows the depth of love that God has for people. And as we've gathered this morning, we gather with that hope that we're among that number that he loved, and that he was willing to pour out his wrath upon his son for, that his son would redeem us unto him. So as we gather this morning, you know, in the midst of Brother Gary mentioned the nation, and many of us are too old to be concerned with certain parts of it, right, Brother General? in the sense of being called to battle in that sense. But we as God's children are constantly called to battle. We're constantly called to stand for that which is true and that which is real. And that which is true and that which is real is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're constantly called to, as his people in this land, that we would show forth that light that he has placed within us. And in showing forth that light, that showing forth would be to the praise and to the honor and glory of the Lord our God. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Verse 9. That's not my text, but it is on my mind, so I'm going to read it for you. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Mankind is as rebellious today as he was in times of old. Mankind today is as stiff-necked today as he was in times of old. So when we think about there being no new thing under the sun, that which is going on in this country today is no new thing. It has been before. It will be again until the Lord returns. That's just the way it is. But as God's children, it is needful for us to remember and to be reminded who we are. And not only that, to be reminded as to who God is. I mean, he created this world and all that there is. There is nothing that's beyond his power, nothing that is beyond his control. You know, one piece of scripture I had this morning, and as I'm talking, maybe I need to go back to it because it was on my mind when it came. This comes out of the book of Samuel. You have your Bibles, 2 Samuel, chapter 24. Starting there at verse 1. And it says, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing?" Well, if we are to understand that first verse, it's not that David delights in it, but it is that the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people. You know, sometimes, and we've heard the saying that, sometimes God gives his people exactly what they ask for. We see that with Samuel. When they told Samuel, God's people, told Samuel that they wanted a king. And God simply said to Samuel, they have not rebelled against you, but they have rebelled against me. So give them what they asked for. And that's exactly what happened. You see, as a people of God, sometimes we forget who we are, our relationship to our Heavenly Father, and the relationship to He who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes God's children are suffered to go through things for the simple reason that they were in times of old. As we read in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. That means that also that we as God's children are no different than those in the time of David that God's anger was kindled against. And how does that manifest it? In this reading, we see that God moved David to do something that David should not have done. He moved David to number the people. Now, what earthly reason, Joab was right, what earthly reason would David need to know how many people that the Lord had blessed them with? I mean, we can think of it in natural ways, that, well, maybe it's prideful, maybe he just wanted to be like Nebuchadnezzar and boast about his great army. But that wasn't the case. He did it for that reason. He did it because God was angry with his people. And he moved David to do exactly what David did. And so Joab and the captains of the group, they went out and did exactly what the king told them to do. They went through all of Israel and then numbered the people. And they came back to David with that number. And they told David that number. And it says here that, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. David was blessed to see that he shouldn't have done what he did. Sometimes we as God's children are blessed to see that we should, should not have done what we did. But there was consequences for David as well as for the whole nation because of what he had done. But let's not lose sight of what got David here in the first place. It's because the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people. You know, sometimes as foolish as we can be as God's little children, that we get in our heads that we ought to be about things that are not of God. You remember when, I think it was taxes or something, when someone was talking to Jesus about paying taxes. And Jesus says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render unto God that which is God's. We are God's. We are to render our service unto him. He is supreme of all. Not only that, it is through his love that he has given us that great hope that one sweet day when we're absent from this flesh, that we're going to be in his presence. So in verse 11 here, he says, for when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. What an expression of the love that God hath for David. God could have done anything that he wanted to do. In way of punishment, because of the transgressions of his people. But God gave David three choices. Interestingly, if we were to contemplate those choices, interestingly, how many of God's children today would choose, you think, the way that David chooses. I mean, because how many of us really, you know, we hear about it, but how many of us really understand the mercy of the Lord our God? How many of us truly understand how merciful and long-suffering He truly is? When we think about those that rebelled against Moses, and God just opened up the earth, swallowed them up, they were never to be seen anymore. When I think about my own life, sometimes I wonder why God hasn't just swallowed me up. It is because of His love and mercy, brethren, for us as His people. The same love that He displayed here, even though His anger was kindled against Israel, even in God's anger, you see His love and mercy as He gave David those three children. Something's going to come your way, David. But I'm going to let you choose which one of those three is going to be. Well, see, David, in his relationship with the Lord our God, was blessed to choose wisely. You see, brethren, it takes wisdom. I think the writer in Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge. It takes wisdom to make the choice that David made. It takes wisdom for you and I to make the choices that we ought to make today. And wisdom, brethren, is not based upon the wisdom of this world. It is, as James says, that the wisdom that God's little children ought to be seeking is that wisdom that comes from on high. But James didn't just say that. He also says that for guys, little children, if you think that you like wisdom, if you think that you like understanding as to how God would have you to move, James tells us to simply just ask God. Don't ask anybody else. Don't look anywhere else. You simply ask of God. And He will supply it to you liberally and upbraid of not. Which means that He has a continuous supply. He has a supply that He will freely give you. And in giving of that supply that He gives you, He will not hold back. He will not hinder you. He not will be angry. He will not be angry with you. He will not be impatient with you. All we have to do as His children is simply ask, and it shall be given to us. So Gad went and told David. So Gad came to David and told him, and said to him, "Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy name, in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land, Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. You know, naturally speaking, you think about 7 years of famine. God, what 7 years versus 3 months? I mean, surely I can endure being beat up for 3 months, right? Compared to 7 years, 3 months is but a whisper. But what did David say? And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I'm in a fix here. I'm in a fix here that I know that I cannot get out on my own. But he said, let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. You see, brethren, it takes wisdom from above to understand why David did what he did. I mean, because naturally speaking, we can take the attitude of how great we are. And surely we can endure. Surely we can endure anything that anybody throws our way for 3 days. But David understood the nature of man. But even better, he understood the mercy of the Lord our God. And he knew that God was a merciful God. When we're blessed to understand what we have been delivered from, brethren, we can more clearly see how merciful God truly is. Not just for David and Israel of old, but for me and for you. And for Israel of today. But God's mercy, brethren, surpasses all of our natural understanding as to why he would be so merciful to a people that have shown themselves over and over and over again to be rebellious, to be stiff-necked, to go their own way, and seemingly at times walk in a way as though they know it not, the Lord our God. But you see, his love is so great that it trumps our little feeble attempts at being rebellious, our little feeble attempts at trying to do it our own way, our little feeble attempts at trying to follow the wisdom of this world, a world that is not our own, a world that we're simply travelers in. We're simply traveling through longing for a better world. Longing for that sweet deliverance one sweet day when he will deliver us out of this world and deliver us home. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. It seems like a lot. But remember that God is merciful. How many of those numbers would David have lost if God had given him over to be judged by man? You see, brethren, even in his punishment, God showed mercy to those who love. And even when we fall short, and somehow we feel chastised, if our eyes are truly open, we still can see that even in that chastisement, that God was merciful. Remember Brother Hank Lewis? No, not too long before Brother Hank died, I was visiting you with him. And he had this incurable lung disease. But rather than being angry or upset, Brother Hank told me, he says, Brother John, I brought it on myself. You can still see the mercy of God in the midst of it. In the midst of the sickness, in the midst of the pain, because he realized that it could be far worse than it was. And the things that we go through in life, brethren, sometimes we feel like we're overwhelmed. But just remember that if it had not been for the mercy of God, it would have been far worse. The long suffering and patience that God displays upon us and showers upon us as his children, brethren, we can't even begin to quantify the magnitude of that all. But he does ask us to do something. He asks us to show mercy as well. The old prophet says, what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justice. To love mercy. And to walk humbly before thy God. As a people of God, how can we not show mercy when God has been merciful to us?
Amen.
Sometimes we can be just like the one who, I'm going to paraphrase this, help me out a bit more, who owed a debt. He was forgiven of that debt. But yet, he would not forgive those that were indebted to him. He showed no mercy at all. Let us be a people that would be about showing mercy. Because mercy has been given to us. And if you think you're incapable of showing mercy, then you're wrong. But you are. You are because the creator of this world has blessed you to be able to do exactly what he has done for you in the way of showing mercy to those that we encounter as we journey in this land. And when the angel stretched forth his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay down thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah, the Jebusite. Again, we see a display of God's mercy. You see, the angel had already destroyed 70,000, but he wasn't finished. But God says, that is enough. And brethren, all time in our own lives, when it seems like we're in so much anguish, we're in so much discomfort, so much pain, and God speaks to us, it is enough. And how does he do that? He does it the same way that the Lord rebuked the winds and said, peace be still. He's able to give us peace in the midst of it all. Just like he did Brother Hank and countless others. In the midst of all the tragedies, all the sorrow that we go through, in the same way that he told the angel here, stayed his hand and said, it's enough. He speaks peace within our hearts. He gives us peace. That peace that passeth all understanding. And we find ourselves at rest. He hasn't necessarily taken us out of the trial. But he has given us grace as he carries us through. And there's no better way for a little child of grace to go through a trial than to be carried through that trial by him who has loved you with an everlasting love. And as he carries you through it, brethren, he does it for his praise and for his glory out of the great love wherewith he has loved people. So yes, we rejoice, we praise him. But we praise him not for naught. We praise him for the great love in which he has loved us. We praise him for the great mercy which he has given us. We praise him for the peace that he gives us in the midst of the storm. We praise him for his dear son, who was a propitiation for our sins, who was suffered to hang there on Calvary's cross and says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For God forsake him. For you and for me and for all those that he gave to his son in a covenant of grace before time was. That is love wherewith he has loved his people throughout all of time. And while we understand that there's nothing new under the sun, and while we understand there will always be wars and rumors of war, and while we understand that mankind will always think too highly of themselves, let us think on greater things. Let us think on the mercy and love of the Lord our God. Blessed be his name.
So John was speaking and followed the 32nd verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul speaking to God's little children about how they ought to act and behave. He says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's a great thought to think about how the Lord has forgiven us. And because of what he has done for us, we ought to be about our Father's business and forgiving one another. As he has loved us, we're to love one another. As he has forgiven us, we're to forgive one another. And we're to forgive. They ask the Lord to forgive us our debts, if we forgive those who trespass against us, or if we forgive our debtors. The Lord's very clear about that, that it's important for us to do that. We know that the Lord will forgive us eternally because of his grace and his mercy. But we can lose time in fellowship because we hold all against our brethren with our Lord, to where we're holding something against someone else. Lord, cut us off from our fellowship with him. Lose the joy of thy salvation. Lose the rest of the peace. And what peace does come when you and I do and walk in obedience to what the Lord has said for us to do. And he surely set the standard. He's the one who showed us what we're to do in regard to that. And we've got a lot in front of us to do. To honor and praise the glory of God. And because of what he has done for us. Does someone have a hymn that we can use in words? 109. We'll sing, stand and sing together. Number 109, we'll probably show the door of the church. Whether it be with this church, any sister church that's represented. We'll give you that opportunity and privilege to make your feelings known as we stand and sing together 109, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand with Jesus. There'll be one or more whoever desire to unite. Let your feelings be made known as we sing 109. Once from my poor sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. next Sunday, the Lord willing, fifth Sunday, we will be here meeting in our fifth Sunday meeting, the Lord willing. And certainly encourage all that can to come and be with us for our fifth Sunday meeting. Immediately following the Sunday morning service, we'll go to the river, the Lord willing, and have the baptizing for little sister Shenandoah. They are at family reunion today, her and Jackie. And we do hope that all that can will be with us and join us for the baptizing as well. And that is, of course, weather permitting, and everything works all right with the river and, at this point. That's little Shenandoah is a little 8-year-old sister that came our second Sunday evening and at the end of the services and just asked to be. She came right after everyone and almost everybody was ready to go out. She said, I would like to be baptized and I love the Lord. And I said, all right, sister. But I didn't know what else to do other than stop and just present it to the church, and the church quickly received her. So please pray for that little sister. And that's Sister Jackie Leggett. She acts as a grandmother. And so it's a blessing. So keep her in your prayers, and all of our young ones, keep them in your prayers. We need them. And we're thankful for them, and we want to pray that the Lord will just bless us with more, and that God will supply what we need, be what we're supposed to be for them as well. So pray for our church, pray for one another. Appreciate so much for Brian being here, Gladys. Thankful for all of our visitors. Hope the preaching is good today. It really hit the spot for me. I just want to get home and dig in that chapter a little more. And, you know, when I see how mysterious the Lord works, I get overwhelmed when I read about His working in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sometimes I wonder what's going on here. And, you know, you think about it, and you know the Lord allows you to see it somewhat, but still, a lot of times, just leaves you with, wow. And you'll find that if you read the book over and over again, how God moves in mysterious ways. And sometimes we are just left to say, that's God, and He does what He pleases, when He pleases, and how He pleases. And, you know, He doesn't have to check in to explain it to Gary or anybody else. And when we think about that in our lives, it can cause us a great deal of contentment, like Brother Hank found and others have found, when the circumstances of your life seem so, what's going on here, you know? What's happening? Well, we never know how the Lord's moving and what He's doing. We do know this. There's going to come a day we're no longer here. The Lord's going to take us home to glory, and all is going to be righteous over there. And in this world, you're going to have troubles and problems and afflictions and things you really don't understand at times. But we can go to the Lord. That's kind of what David said. I'm just going to put my life in the Lord's hands. Well, I gotta trust the Lord than man. And boy, that's a lot in that statement for me. I got a lot of chewing on this. Still thinking about it. He gave me a whole lot to think about. May the Lord bless us to grow in grace and knowledge and in understanding. And pray for your preachers as they come before you, that the Lord will bless them. Pray for one another, and just as we face this old evil world, be a help to one another as much as you can. Reach out to one another and be in prayer for one another, and just thank the Lord for every good thing He supplies to us. Other announcements real quick. Coming up, we've got the meetings of July coming up. We got right there. It looked pretty fast, didn't it? Saturday, the July the 12th, the Cedar Creek's union meeting. That's at Marlboro. That's on the 12th of July. That's on a Saturday. And then the Catoctin Association will be July the 18th, 19th, and 20th. That will be held at W.G. Coleman Elementary School. That will be here before we know it. So pray for that meeting. And then our union meeting comes up on the Friday night before, Sunday, that's Friday, July the 25th, we'll be meeting at 7 o'clock is when it'll begin. Then we'll have a meeting on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and then Sunday at 10 o'clock. All the meeting times of the association at 10 o'clock in the morning. Y'all going to have morning service and evening, or just go through and eat and then each day? So, ours are going to be probably morning and then lunch and evening. Pray for those meetings that are upcoming. The Ebenezer Association meeting is right there in August, coming up on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Be in prayer about that as well. Be in prayer for one another. Anything else that anyone has? All right. All minds are clear. We'll stand and look to the Lord in this mission. And it's good to see everybody. Thank the Lord for each of you. Sister Connie, I get to see your face on there. That smile, Sister Connie, is always brightening my day. So good seeing her there. All right. All minds are clear. We'll stand and look to the Lord in this mission. Bow with me. Merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for Brother John and for blessing him so wonderfully, Lord, to present from thy word, the truth of thy word, O Lord, giving him liberty and giving him a mind that's clear and a message that was clear. And we thank thee, O Lord, for blessing us to have understanding of thy word to some degree. Do pray, O Lord, that thou would help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Dear Lord, be with this little church and bless us. Be with all and each and every one of our members, all of the visitors that are here today. Lord, just supply to us just what we need. For those that are not here, Lord, we beg, O Lord, that they would burden them to be present, and those that cannot, bless them and supply what they need. But those that may be just complacent, Lord, we beg that they would stir their hearts, that they might be once again among us and we'd be having sweet fellowship one with another. Dear Lord, we thank thee that we have a place like this that we can come. We know that thou art the one who has given it to us. We know we didn't earn it, didn't merit it. Lord, we don't want what we have earned and merited. But we beg for mercy, O Lord, and just thank you for this sweet little church. Ask thy continued blessing upon it. Bless all of our sister churches. Be with each of us, O Lord, as we live our lives and we walk in a way to honor and glorify thee. Lord, may we remember thee and all that we do. And Lord, forgive us of where we fail again and again. And Lord, just help us, we pray. We thank thee again for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his wonderful name that we do pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Love you all. Thank you, Sister Mary. God bless you all.